Hello, and welcome to For the Journey, a podcast offering formation and inspiration to Christians longing for more of God in their lives and in the world. For the Journey is presented by Coracle, a ministry committed to inspiring and enabling people to be the presence of God in the brokenness of the world through spiritual formation for kingdom action. We want to help you grow deeper in your relationship with God so that you can go further into the world with God's loving, healing, redeeming power. For the Journey is a space where each week we hope to help you encounter God and live a more integrated life of faith in the world by offering a regular rhythm of reflections, guided spiritual practices, thoughtful conversations, and more. This week, we share a sermon offered by Bill Haley in 2017 on 1 Peter 3. In this passage, Peter offers guidance to Christians in a largely pagan setting who are undergoing various kinds of suffering specifically because of their allegiance to Jesus. As Bill explores, there is much that 21st century Christians in America can learn from Peter's counsel. Here's Bill.
Well, we are working our way through 1 Peter. We're letting the text determine our topics. In other words, we are just marching through it and letting it decide what we preach about on a Sunday morning, even if it means that the sermon on Mother's Day is instructions to wives. Thank you, John. Take one for the team there. But I love this, that we are submitting ourselves to the text. We're letting it tell us what to talk about. And the heart of our text today is 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 22. And it's all about how a Christian handles suffering that happens because you're a follower of Jesus. So I really would encourage you to open your Bibles and just follow along in 1 Peter 3. Peter is coming to the end of a long section that begins in the middle of chapter 2 on how Christians are to be in various sorts of relationships and roles. So he's talked to Christians about how we're to be citizens. He's talked to Christians who find themselves as servants, to Christian women about being wives, and to Christian men about how to be husbands. And now, finally, chapter 3, verse 8, the very first word, finally, in other words, to sum it all up, to bring all this to completion, now Peter's talking to Christians about how to be in relationship with each other. In verses 8 through 12, and in verses 13 through 17, how to be in relationship with those who persecute you because of your faith. Now, Peter finishes by holding up Jesus as the example of suffering for others, and then he dives deep into a rabbit hole with some pretty strange stuff in it in verses 18 through 21. That little passage in our passage this morning is considered to be one of the most difficult in the New Testament, not only to interpret, but even simply to translate. So that'll have to wait for another Sunday, when we have 2 hours instead of 20 minutes. Martin Luther said of it, he said, this is a wonderful text, but a more obscure passage perhaps than any other in the New Testament, so that I do not know for certainty what Peter actually means. That's Luther, for heaven's sakes. But at the end of this rabbit hole, though, there is bright clarity on the other side in verse 22 that Jesus Christ is alive, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is Lord over all things. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let's get into the heart of our passage, and we'll get there with a show of hands. Raise them high. Raise two if you want. We're going to start with an easy question. You ready? First of all, how many of you are glad to be worshiping in our own building? Amen. Yes, it's a gift every time we're here. Now, questions get a little harder. How many of you have ever been or felt persecuted for your Christian faith in any form? Most of us, all right? How many of you have felt this through the actions or behaviors of non-Christians? A lot of us. How many of you have felt this through the actions of or behaviors of Christians? Right, a lot of us. Now, I am sure that those experiences weren't fun, but that you've had them is actually good news, because this is normal Christianity. If you suffer in any way for being a Christian, it means that you're probably doing something right. Suffering can be defined simply as having to go through something that you wouldn't choose. Having to go through something that you wouldn't choose. And persecution is being targeted for suffering by another person. And true Christianity, brothers and sisters, is to sign up to suffer and be persecuted for Christ. We'll just let the Bible speak for itself. Jesus said in John 15, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." All will. Now, it's got to be said, of course, that when we talk about suffering for being a Christian in America, on the scale of things, what we offer are very, very small sacrifices compared to most Christians around the world. And you know this, right? It's so true, it's so true, it's almost unadvisable to talk about suffering as a Christian in the same sentence as the word America. We claim this very carefully. We can be so very grateful to God for how much we have not had to endure in our country because of our discipleship to Christ. And should it get harder, we need not fear or think that something has gone awry. A while ago, Billy Graham said it pretty simply. "We here don't know what suffering is. The immunity to persecution that Christians in our country have experienced in the past two or three centuries is unusual. Christ strongly warned Christians that to follow him would not be popular, and that in most circumstances it would mean cross-bearing and persecution. We have no scriptural foundation for believing that we can forever escape being persecuted for Christ's sake. The normal condition for Christians is that we should suffer persecution." So in our context, then, what might that look like? Well, maybe your faith generates tension with a family member. Maybe a coworker who finds Christianity utterly offensive finds out that you are one and won't let it go, and even perhaps targets you to push your buttons or make you feel foolish. Or if you're in school and kids tease you for being a Christian. Maybe you take a stand for your faith and lose your property and a bit of cultural status, hypothetically. Maybe you stand up for what you think is simple, basic Christian principles and end up being on the receiving end of some pretty tough comments by Christians. Maybe you get forced out of your job because of issues related to your discipleship and your integrity. Or maybe you simply have to leave it because in good conscience you can't do it anymore. Maybe you lose a business opportunity because of your decision to do the right thing. Maybe you choose to follow Jesus to a difficult place and it's a lot harder than you thought and bad things happen to you. There are plenty of ways to end up going through things that you wouldn't choose because of your faithfulness to Jesus. And in the eternal scheme of things, friends, these are small things. Oh, how small these things we'll see when we view them in the perspective of eternity. Amen? And as we've said, gratefully, on the global scale of the church, our burdens are light. But still they are burdens. And they are ours to bear. So what do we do? Here in the Bible, 1 Peter 3 is both blunt and clear. Okay, so follow it with me. Verse 9, "Don't repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this you are called." To what are we called? What's the this? We Christians are fundamentally called to Christ-likeness, to be like Jesus, to share in the life of Jesus and the sufferings of Jesus, and to do what Jesus did when those sufferings come, which is to respond to hatred with love, to respond to evil with good. Doing good is all over this passage. It's laced throughout it. Our response to suffering and persecution for being a Christian is not passive. Verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Well, kind of at first glance, the answer might be, well, a lot of people, actually, right? To which Jesus says in Matthew 10, don't be afraid of them. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, Jesus says, don't be afraid of people because they can only kill you. Such strange words to our ears, but the Bible's words to us. Verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, there it is again, Christ-likeness, right? The righteous one. When we look like him and live like him and we suffer because of it, if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Blessed. What does that mean? Well, being blessed, just like in the Beatitudes that we heard read, being blessed means that God is with you. It means that the kingdom of God is available to you. Being blessed means that the favor of God rests upon you. This is what it means to be blessed. Is there anything there about material prosperity? Is there anything there about physical safety? Peter here is taking his cues directly from Jesus himself, from the words on the Sermon on the Mount. It is so cool, isn't it? Peter was there. Peter heard the Sermon on the Mount. It's in his own backyard on a hillside on the Sea of Galilee. And there he heard Jesus preach. And there he heard Jesus say in Matthew 5, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So, how about those that you feel threatened by? Verse 14. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. The title of this sermon is Don't Fear Suffering, Rather, fill in the blank. Well, rather what? Well, again, right from the text, verse 15. Don't fear suffering. Rather, honor Jesus. Honor Jesus. Honor Christ the Lord, the Holy One, God Himself, who is worth any suffering that I might have to endure for His sake in order to bear witness to His love. That's how we honor Jesus. Right? We say we're willing to go through hardship to show people that he's awesome. Verse 15, don't fear suffering. Rather, be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. Isn't it interesting? Usually we take this verse and we apply it to either evangelism or apologetics. But actually, the context for this particular verse is actually the context of being persecuted. In other words, when someone treats you poorly because of your faith and Christian convictions, tell them why you're doing it. Be ready to tell them why you're doing it. Tell them who you're doing it for. Tell them about Jesus. How? Verse 15. With gentleness and respect, and with the good conscience. In other words, do your best to follow Jesus. And when you get challenged about it, just offer an explanation with humility, with respect, and let it go. Hopefully, prayerfully, that person who has come after you will see something different about you. Hopefully they'll see Jesus himself. So just to give a few key words here to answer that question, don't fear suffering, rather do what? Don't fear suffering, brothers and sisters, rather trust God, bless your adversary, honor Jesus, explain your faith, and rejoice. So trust, bless, honor, explain, rejoice. Just a few verses later, Peter's going to write in chapter 4, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Jesus, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now, what we've been talking about, I know, is difficult. Amen? And as Christians, we're called to it. Full stop. Feels like the Bible's asking us to be superhuman. It is. This is the point. The Bible is calling us to be like Jesus, who was the superhuman. God himself, the Bible is calling us to be like Jesus. So we ask God for his Spirit to help us, because we cannot do this on our own. Behaving like this comes from another planet, right? We ask God to help us by sending us his Spirit, and we study those who model it. When you want to learn something difficult, you don't study somebody who struggles with it, right? You struggle with somebody who's mastered it. And it's like that with the Christian response to persecution and suffering. You study the masters and you learn from them. And I wish we had time this morning to explore more fully the Amish of Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, who 10 years ago lost 5 of their daughters in that horrible school shooting. You know, their first response was to forgive and to bless. By the evening of that day, they had already set up a benevolence account for the widow of the shooter and his 3 children. After they buried their own daughters, they actually attended the funeral of the shooter in the afternoon. I wish we had time more fully to explore our African-American brothers and sisters in Charleston, South Carolina. Of course, African-American Christians in our country have been very familiar with persecution. Must be said. But we were all aghast and horrified when Dylan Roof killed 9 of them last year. And we were all amazed. Our country was amazed. Do you remember when the first reactions coming from our black brothers and sisters was forgiveness? Remember? One teenager said, who lost his mother, said, "We already forgive him for what he's done. And there's nothing but love from our side of the family." I do want to explore more fully, though, some very recent events and tremendous Christian witness. You may have heard Archbishop Munir refer to this when he was just with us. Just over a month ago, when the bombs went off in the Coptic Christian churches in Egypt, we were again horrified at the persecution that our brothers and sisters are forced to endure. And then again, the world was shocked at their response. Nassim Fahim died in the bombing in Alexandria, and he was a hero that day. Basically, he was an usher who was standing out in the courtyard, the open courtyard of the church. And when a man came through and tried to get through the open courtyard and into the sanctuary, he actually steered him to make sure that the man went through the metal detector. So the guy goes through the metal detector, the bomber was found out, the beeper went off, and he pushed the button, and Nassim Fahim was killed instantly, along with many others. But by preventing him from walking into the open sanctuary, he saved dozens and dozens and dozens of lives. So being like Jesus so that others see Jesus, it's the point. And God's blessing is the promise. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to For the Journey. We hope you'll join us again next week. And in the meantime, you can explore past episodes and see what we're up to at inthecoracle.org and on social media at inthecoracle. If you were blessed by what you just heard, please subscribe, as we'll be releasing new episodes each week. Please also feel free to rate and review the show and share this episode around with others who might be blessed by it. For the Journey is made possible by the generous support of our Coracle partners, the wonderful men and women who choose to support this ministry through their prayers and financial gifts. If you're one of our partners and are listening, we are so grateful for you. If you would like to join us as a sustaining partner, you can set up a monthly donation of any amount at inthecoracle.org/support. The link is in the show notes. Our growing community of partners gets access to tailor-made resources, gifts, and events, and we would love for you to be a part of that. Our theme song is Mystery Hymn from our friends at Lowland Hum. Please give them a listen wherever you get your music. And so, friends, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen, and we will see you on the journey.
Hallelujah. Let me spend